Will you join me in the spirit of prayer? Holy God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O God, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your strength? That is a tough question sometimes. Don Jose Ruiz was here Tuesday night, and many of you saw him in this nearly packed house that evening. And as you are probably aware by now, Don Jose is a New York Times best-selling author, a shaman of the ancient Native Mexican wisdom. And we were fortunate to have him here Tuesday evening as he stood right here in the chancel with his black pants, boots that had a little extra platform to them, black jacket, a black hat that was kind of like a cowboy hat, but not really a cowboy hat, and his long black hair flowing down from beneath it. He shared with us much of his journey on Tuesday evening, how he has been through addiction, even losing his sight for 3 weeks. He was blind. He's been married 2 times before, and he's only in his mid-40s. And his journey, like many of ours, he was always seeking from the outside world something to heal his inner world. He went to his father one day, and his father, Don Miguel Ruiz, said to him, "Don Jose, you need to just follow the 4 agreements. Don Jose said, he looked them up, he read them, he goes, "Father, that is so easy, I will do so, I will follow the 4 agreements. Don Jose goes off, and a week later he comes back to his father, Don Miguel, and he says, "Father, these agreements are so hard." Don Jose spoke of all the things we do, chasing and going after, and how we will never be at peace until we love ourselves. Our scriptures this morning, the first one is from the book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is the 5th book in the Bible. It's part of the books that are attributed to Moses, part of the Pentateuch, the Torah. The book was composed during the pre-exilic world, before the Babylonian exile, you see. And it was during this time that monotheism hadn't fully emerged. The Israelites believed in Yahweh, in their God, but that doesn't mean they didn't believe that no other gods existed. In the Jewish liturgy here from Deuteronomy, in verse 4 from our scripture, it's a lead paragraph of the Shema, meaning hear. That's the first actual word that's translated from Hebrew. The faithful are instructed to recite this liturgy twice a day. And this passage might sound familiar to you when you think about the New Testament and Jesus, where Jesus, answering to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, gives them the greatest commandment of all. So hear these holy words again from Deuteronomy, but this time with the New Revised Translation. It goes, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your might. Keep those words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Moses is giving these instructions to be internalized, be brought in, be held close to the heart by the faithful ones, and to also be outwardly displayed as a witness to their personal and communal identity among God's people. As theologian Dr. Dolinsky states, the Israelites are to bind these words as a sign on your hand, and they will be as a symbol between your eyes, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. This meant literally, she says, the words themselves were understood to have protective power. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. But how? That's the question. Even if I write these words on my arms, on my hands, if I write them on my mirror so I see them when I get up in the morning, or on my car dashboard so I can see them every day, how am I to do this? It starts with what Don Jose taught Tuesday evening, self-love. You, my friends, are from God and are born of God. You, my friends, are beloved, and we have to love ourselves first. In order to love our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our being, we must see our true value, your innate dignity. You must love yourself first. Self-love isn't just like a state of feeling good. It's not being happy. Self-love is about appreciation for oneself that grows from our actions. Our actions which support our physical and our psychological and our spiritual growth. Self-love is an act, and it grows through these actions, which mature, like we hear in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, that God's goal is for us to become mature adults, to be fully grown, measured by the standard of fullness in Christ. Jesus is our emblem. Jesus is who we strive to be like, and God's goal for us is to mature and to grow and be Christ-like. But we are in a world where we're pressed to be better, get better jobs, make more money, do this or that. We are constantly being told we're not good enough, not tall enough, not pretty enough, don't have the right hairstyle, whatever it might be. The world tells stories that are constructed. Divisions are attempted. We are called, though, to love ourselves because that is the first step to following Jesus, and to follow Jesus in a community. Psychologist Deborah Kosheba, she wrote that when we act in ways that expand self-love in ourselves, we begin to accept much better our weaknesses as well as our strengths, have less need to explain away our shortcomings. We have compassion for ourselves as human beings, struggling to find personal meaning, and are more centered in our life purpose and values, and expect living fulfillment through our own efforts. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Once we love ourselves and recognize the God within us, then we are on the road to loving and listening to God. Loving God, like I mentioned last week, is about saying yes to following the ways of Jesus. Because every time we say yes to something, we are saying no to something else. And some might wonder, how do I know when God is actually talking to me? How do I listen to God? Because God sometimes doesn't sound like a voice over the loudspeaker. That's a really good question. How do we listen to God? Loving and listening to God is about slowing down. It's about intentionally turning our focus to God and to be open to God. Prayer, of course, is one of the ways. However, prayer is often like a monologue. We're just speaking at God. giving thanks to God for everything, offering up petitions, asking for things. It's a one-way communication. But like with any communication, it's got to be both ways. Prayer is really like a dialogue where we speak to God and then God speaks back to us. Sitting in the quiet and listening to God is an active activity. We discern which voices are from the outside world, which are our own egos, which are things that are driving us astray. And instead, we listen intently for what is God saying. God's guidance might come out through a thought of a solution to a problem that's going on in your mind. God's voice might come out in the form of a friend or someone else reaching out and saying something to you. God's voice might come out to you through reading a scripture passage. You know you are listening to God and following God when there's an overwhelming confidence, a goodness in your heart. When you know you are standing in truth. And the truth is the truth, and you don't have to believe it, and no one else has to believe it, because the truth will always be the truth. Living, walking, and speaking in the way of the truth is following God. We each have intentionally decided to be a part of a community which follows Jesus. And we will know when we are truly following Jesus in community when we see God in everyone and in everything. One of the most helpful ways for me to see God in everyone and in everything is to follow the five agreements that we went through this fall. The be impeccable with your word, meaning speak with love and kindness. Don't take anything personally. It's often not about you, it's about the other person. Don't make assumptions. Oh gosh, assumptions get in the way all the time. We assume we know what someone's gonna say next, or we assume we know what's going on in their world. Always do your best. And, I might add, assume others are too. That's an assumption that's good to make, I guess. And then finally, be curious, but learn to listen. God is and has been with humanity throughout time, and God is with us today. In closing, I leave you with these words from the Apostle Paul, once again from his writings to Ephesians. He writes, the gifts of God were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of God's Son. God's goal for us is to become mature adults, to be fully grown, measured by the standard of the fullness in Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro, blown about every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. Instead, by speaking the truth with love, let's grow in every way into Christ. May it be so. Thank you, the Apostle Paul. Amen.